Hey, everybody, welcome to Mini Crush.
Chuck, you have such a sultry voice this morning.
You know, it's funny as I will sing to my daughter like that, sing words to her. Like, the first time she did it, just killed me. I was like, you know, Ruby, it's Monday. It's time to go to school today. And she sang back, you know, I don't want to go to school today. And it was just very adorable how she just like followed right in.
How old is she?
She's three, just turned three recently.
Bright kid.
Yeah, she's good. Good stuff. Good times. Being a parent is a lot of fun, as you know. Having a little buddy. Yesterday I said, we were just having a blast. And I was like, are we pals? Are we buddies? And she said, no, we're Bryants.
God damn, man. That's like a movie line.
It is.
That should be, that's like literally the end of the trailer on the movie called The Bryants. Are we buddies? No, we're Bryants.
And then Blink 182 kicks in. Is that Blink 182?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I said them because I literally don't know one song by them.
Yes, you do.
I don't. I swear to God.
And it happened once again. I'll turn into a friend, someone who understands. No?
I don't know. I swear to God. I don't listen to radio.
So if I keep singing it, you're still not going to know it?
No, but I will definitely be more annoyed.
Okay, so. Cool. Then I'll
keep
it
going.
I'll stop. No, it's fine. It's too early for you to be annoyed, Chuck. I want you to be happy in the morning.
Still sick because it's minutes after we recorded last week's episode.
Yep, and I'm still heart sick.
That's right.
I'm not really, guys. Don't worry about me. But, you know, if you want to write me a nice note online or send me a card.
Everybody Noel needs a boost.
I need a boost, you guys. I need to get boosted.
Yeah. Boost them up. Make them feel good. All right, Noel, we got a new segment this week that I just pulled out of my butt. It's called Cameo. This is, I just thought, you know what? What are some of the best cameos of all time for big actors? And it turns out that Esquire.com has a list. So if you're thinking right now, is this guy just going to read some shit off of a website? The answer is yes. Esquire says the 25 best A-list cameos written by Nick Shager or Shager from like 4 years ago. So thanks, Nick, for your work. Thanks for letting me gank this. I'm going to go through some of these. Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glen Ross. One of the great all-time cameos.
Coffees for Closers?
Oh, yes. So, so great.
A lot of yelling in that movie.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, it's a classic.
Yeah.
But it's David. Is it
Mamet?
Or Mamet?
No, it's Mamet.
Is it Mamet?
Yes. Yes.
I thought it was, but yeah. I didn't want to be dumb.
No, you're not. And I didn't mean to sound incredulous, Chuck.
No.
I've just heard it said. I've heard it spoken a lot.
Yeah. Like, get out of here with your Mamet.
Mamet? It's like Tarjay.
Oh, God. I hate that.
Who does that?
Well, I think it's not as popular as it was 5 years ago.
I said, my kid and I say it to each other sometimes. We think it's cute.
Really?
It's more of an insight. I would never say it.
Like, it's cute when your daughter does it, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, yes.
Alec Baldwin. Great, great scene. Second prize, set of steak knives. Third prize, you're fired. So good. Bill Murray in Zombieland. Totally agree with that.
What is it? Doesn't he like pop out of a... something and you think is he a zombie or he's not, he's pretending to be a zombie.
No,
right?
I think he's a zombie, isn't he?
I thought he was just pretending to be a zombie and then they hang.
Oh, it's been a while. I thought he was a real zombie, but maybe not. Good cameo though.
Yeah, for sure.
Anytime Bill Murray pops up.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that documentary about him?
No.
Yeah. You know how Bill Murray he is known for just popping up in real life at like someone's wedding or someone's soccer game,
Or
pick up softball game, or he'll be bartending or whatever.
Right. No, and it's true. I've actually been in the vicinity when he's made appearances like that, and I just barely, like, I just missed him.
Oh, fuck. Like that. God.
Yeah.
That would be painful for me if someone was like, dude, you just got here. Fucking Bill Murray was here.
Yeah, my friend tweeted or Instagrammed a picture of him just kicking it, hanging out with everybody at the MoMA in New York.
He hung out at the Claremont here apparently one night. For those of you who don't know, the Claremont Lounge here in Atlanta is a legendary dive bar strip club. And when I say strip club, it is technically a strip club, but it's really just sort of a dive bar. Like How do you describe the Claremont without being like it's, offensive?
Well, I mean, it's known for its geriatric strippers, shall we say?
Yeah, it's colorful
legacy strippers.
Legacy strippers.
They've been there for a long time.
Yeah, like Blondie.
Blondie
is one of the legendary strippers,
and they have younger folks as well. But the legacy gals just kind of walk around the floor, and they have these specialty things they do.
These tricks.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll go ahead and say it. Blondie she was a poetress as well. She would recite poetry. And I believe she was the one that was famous for crunching a beer can in her butt cheeks.
Okay.
Was
it her butt cheeks or her bosoms?
She might have been able to do both.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
Maybe simultaneously. That'd be incredible.
But the point is, it's not like a regular strip club. Like, it's just full of all kinds of people just partying and getting drunk on cheap drinks.
Yes. Only they're not cheap because it's a strip club and they're quite expensive.
Are they?
Yeah, it's more of a PBR and well whiskey kind of bar. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But the funny thing is there's a hotel that's been attached to it forever that was always derelict and like totally
shuttered.
And in the last year, it's been like renovated and turned into this like super bougie
hipster.
My friend refers to it as a hipster vacation destination spot.
It is.
And the fact that they left the lounge, which is what the thing we're talking about, relatively untouched
in the basement,
is kind of funny because that sort of adds to the weird hipster bougie Disneyland vibe.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a lot of concern. I know we're going off on a tangent here, but everyone should know if they come to Atlanta, you should go to the Claremont Lounge. But there was a lot of concern in Atlanta when the plans were out to renovate the hotel and make it into a hipster boutique hotel, that the Claremont Lounge in the basement was going to be done for. And the people who bought it they stayed true to form, and they were like, no, we're keeping it as is.
Yeah, it's basically a historical marker.
It is.
You know, at this point. They should install a plaque.
There probably are plaques. Long story short, Bill Murray, when he was shooting in town once, one night, was there with Woody Harrelson and one other legendary person. I can't remember who it was.
Was it during Zombieland?
Maybe. Oh, was Woody Harrelson in that?
Yeah, he's like the main guy.
Well, yeah, that's totally when it was, because that was shot here.
Yeah. That was one of the first big Atlanta movies.
Can't imagine strolling in there and seeing that crew.
I heard the guys from the pretty vanilla bluegrass band Mumford & Sons actually got kicked out of the Claremont Lounge.
Being Mumford & Sons?
Maybe, but I think it was for taking pictures. Taking pictures is strictly verboten.
Yeah, Jesus. But we're Mumford. I don't like those guys. Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder. Yeah, pretty great cameo, I got to admit. The Cruise has done a few good cameos over the years, and that was definitely a good one. Tom Cruise again and Austin Powers, Goldmember. Not bad. Bruce Willis and Julia Roberts in The Player. Yeah, The Player, one of my favorite movies. And Bruce Willis and Julia pop up at the very end in the movie about the movie about the movie, I believe is how that goes. Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction. One of the great cameos, wouldn't you say, Noel? With a watch and Butch.
Up his ass?
Yeah.
He carried it up my ass. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, but he didn't say it quite like that.
No, you're right.
It was Jackie Gleason.
No, you're right. No, it was more like, I carried this watch up my ass.
I love it.
Was that a little better?
Hey, I love a good Christopher Walken.
That wasn't awful, but it wasn't great. But
no,
it was, yeah.
I think it was right in the wheelhouse. Great cameo there, though. One of the great scenes in that movie.
It really is.
And you know what I just learned from listening to the great Unspooled podcast with Paul Scheer.
I love Paul
Scheer. And Amy Nicholson.
Are you guys pals? Are you and Paul? You guys keep up?
No.
No.
No. I wish.
I'm a fan.
No, I am too, as you know. But Scheer and Amy Nicholson, film critic Amy Nicholson, which I'm going to have her on the show when I go to LA next time, I hope. They do the great Unspooled movie podcast where they're going through AFI's top 100 movies. And they just did Taxi Driver, and Paul went off on a tangent on this documentary that Scorsese did about some – can't remember the guy's name, but some crazy New York character he did a documentary on years ago who I believe made an appearance in Taxi Driver. And he played this section of the documentary that is the adrenaline shot to the chest scene from Pulp Fiction. This really happened to this guy.
Oh, wow.
And he's telling the story, and he's like, and I got this little black medical book, and like, this is how you give an adrenaline shot. You got to shoot it straight in the chest. And so I got this thing, and I put a magic marker on her chest, and like the whole thing,
what?
Dude, is like totally I want to say ripped off, but I imagine Tarantino has acknowledged that's where he got it from. I can't imagine that he has tried to hide that, because it's totally lifted from that documentary, that story is. So hopefully Tarantino has come clean about that. I imagine he has. He's always been pretty clear about his, shall we say, influences.
Yeah, he kind of wears them on his sleeve. I mean, it's sort of a badge of honor for him.
That's why
it's hard to give him shit for, like, ripping things off, because it's just, like, it's almost just homage after homage. And he's not trying to hide it, you know?
So. Good point. Oh, man, this is a good one. Neil Patrick Harris and Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. That is one of the great cameos, when Neil Patrick Harris shows up on Ecstasy. You remember that? Did you see that one?
I haven't seen that one, no.
Not a great movie. It wasn't bad. I thought it was enjoyable. But great, great scene from NPH. Martin Scorsese himself in Taxi Driver, speak of the devil. Yeah, he shows up in the back seat as a cab, as a fare in De Niro's cab. And boy, that's a disturbing scene. Really, really, really disturbing scene because of what is said. I'll just say that. I won't get into it. Johnny Depp in 21 Jump Street, of course, very obvious but great cameo. Will Ferrell in Wedding Crashers. Yeah, that was pretty good. Remember the end of Wedding Crashers?
I've not seen that either, Chuck. I have seen The Wedding Singer, though, but I know that's not helpful here.
Didn't see Wedding Crashers, huh?
No.
It was a pretty good movie, actually.
Like with Owen Wilson and Kevin whatever?
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, that's it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Didn't you were about to say Kevin Spacey?
No, I was going to say Kevin. Who's that guy?
Kevin Dillon?
No, he's in another one of those goofy movies like that. Kind of big guy.
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
No.
No. Fuck it. Never mind. Move on.
Paul Blart, Mall Cop?
Yeah, that guy.
Kevin, what's his face?
Yeah, that's the guy I'm thinking of.
No. Wedding Crashers is funny. I mean, I say it's a good movie. It's a funny movie. But Will Ferrell has a great, great cameo at the end. Hey, Mom! You can get some meatloaf! Orson Welles in the Muppet Movie. You just saw this recently, right?
Oh, it's great. He's the executive, and he barely speaks, and he just gives this intense look, and then it's like,
that
oh,
Orson
fuck, it's Orson Welles. Yeah. And it's like latter-day Orson Welles when
sure.
he's like a big, scary-looking dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe he's got a cigar.
He does.
And then he just says, calls to his secretary and says, get the special papers for the giant movie star deal. It's so hilarious. God, I love that movie. That movie just really brightened my day.
So good. I need to rewatch that. It's been a while.
It's really meta. It's like a movie about making movies, and then at the end, it just kind of all falls apart.
Yeah.
It's like a, it's almost like a Michelle Gondry video at the end. It's so cool.
I haven't seen, have you seen the new Jim Carrey show?
I heard it's great. How have I not? I love Michelle Gondry, and he hasn't done anything in a long time, so I'd love to see it.
Tim Robbins, Ben Stiller, and Luke Wilson in Anchorman, Legend of Ron Burgundy. Yeah, the big gang fight scene. That was pretty good. All right, let's go through a couple of more of these. Michael Cera in This Is the End, very funny cameo, although that movie was just full of cameos, but that was pretty funny.
That was a cameo. Doesn't he, like, get shredded or something
by a demon?
Yeah,
he's a big asshole, and he's all, like, coked up and stuff, and then I believe a street lamp impales him, if I'm not mistaken. All right.
That's right, yeah. Demon impaling.
That's cameo. Thank you, Esquire.com. Maybe we'll see if I can find a different list, and we can do that again one day. All right, what are we going to do here next, Noel? All right, Noel, we're going to do another casting call segment. Remember when I debuted that one a few weeks ago?
Of course. How could I forget, Chuck? It was a glorious time in the movie crush history.
Oh, all right. So if you don't remember casting call, or if you're new to the show, welcome. This is really what we do every week, everyone. It's called casting call, where I ask you to cast the following five roles in this comedic historical science fiction adventure about a 20-something nerd who builds a time machine in order to right history's wrongs. He picks up Rosa Parks, Gandhi, and Frederick Douglass, trains them in the art of kill.
We did this one already.
Yeah. This is the continuation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not a new movie.
Got it.
Because I felt bad. So many people left such good casting comments.
So you say Gandhi?
Well, just to be funny.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, cool.
So he picks up Rosa Parks, Gandhi, and Frederick Douglass, trains them in the art of kill, and sends them after Hitler. So your five parts, everyone that you're casting, are the nerd, Rosa Parks, Gandhi, Frederick Douglass, and Hitler. So here we go. John Bose says, 20-something nerd, Eddie Murphy. All right, we're time traveling, so why not? Rosa Parks, Eddie Murphy. Hey, I think I see what he's doing here. Gandhi, Eddie Murphy. Frederick Douglass, Eddie Murphy. And Hitler, Eddie Murphy.
Now that's sort of like the like a Nutty Professor kind of situation.
I think so, but I'm reading that because he got 26 likes and laughs and things.
Oh no, that's good. That'd be funny.
Yeah, good job, good job. All right, moving on. Patrick Gorman says, "Nerd Allison Brie again, like last time. I was not gender specific, so I like that people are thinking with a lady there. And boy, do I love Allison Brie." She is great. I got a little crush on her. Rosa Parks, Yvette Nicole Brown. Yeah, good job there. Gandhi, Danny Pudi. Yeah, of course. Douglas, Donald Glover. We've gotten a few Donald Glovers. He'd be a good Frederick Douglass. And Hitler, Chevy Chase. Why not? Boy, Chevy Chase. He gets so much shit now. He brought it on himself, though, you know, Noel.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't seem like the... Doesn't seem like the most affable guy.
Yeah, he's sort of a well-known asshole.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
You sleep in the bed that you make, or you make the bed you sleep in? Which is it? I don't even know.
It's you've made your bed, now lie in it.
Oh, okay. Good job. Well, he's lying in that bed.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's sleeping.
Amina Stimeyer says, Dev Patel is the nerd. All right, not bad. Valderrama as Rosa Parks. We're going outside the box here, Noel, because that's a dude.
Yeah, I mean, this is rife for any kind of slapstick bizarro casting, this whole concept.
So casting a Latin man, a young Latin man, is an older black woman. I don't know about that.
That could be problematic. No, I'm not. That's a bit much.
I think he was just being goofy because he's all over the map here. He also says Patrick Stewart is Gandhi. And Ike Turner as Frederick Douglass. Whoa, not bad. And then Ricky Gervais as Hitler. I'd actually like to see that. Ricky Gervais as Hitler. I bet he could Hitler it up. I love that guy. You a Ricky Gervais fan?
Yeah, yeah? He's okay. I like extras and the British Office, but
extras so good.
It's great, but he's also kind of a well-known asshole, it seems like. He just seems, I don't know, he just seems a bit much.
I think he's only an asshole if you got it coming, though.
Maybe. You could be right.
I don't know. I like him.
There is one of the best late night discussions I've ever seen where he and Colbert debate the merits of atheism versus believing in God.
I've seen that.
And it's really, really good.
Yeah.
And our friend and coworker Ben was actually there at the taping of that. So
oh, really?
He saw a lot of the stuff that didn't make it.
Oh,
and
wow.
And they just kind of like let it ride. And
that's kind of a legendary clip.
It really was, yeah.
Because Colbert is a well-known Catholic.
And is also a well-known smarty pants. And he did a really good job of defending his thesis, but he could not, he could not argue with Gervais, because Gervais is also quite good at the art of debate.
Interesting. I'm gonna check that out. Loved extras, though. Bring tea for the Tillerman,
steak for the sun, wine for the woman who made the rain come.
Such a great song. I was just listening to the new, or not new, but latest Cat Stevens from last year.
Isn't he back to being called Cat Stevens now?
Yeah, he does. I think he does both. He's either Yousef or Cat Stevens.
Are they different genres depending?
No, same stuff.
Okay, that's complicated. That's confusing.
I'm a huge fan. I grew up
like... Oh, man. Have you seen Harold and Maude?
Oh, of course.
Of course, yeah. That's just classic.
Shout out to Janet Varney, the very first guest, inaugural guest on the show. She's a big Cat Stevens fan. Love you, Janet. All right. Ashley Trantham Saunders says, Shia LaBeouf is Hitler. Why not?
Shia LaBeouf.
God,
Shia LaBeouf.
I saw some... What is that from?
Just fun to say his name.
Oh, okay. I thought that you were, that was a bit.
Shia LaBeouf. It just sounds like, I don't know, it's just so whimsical.
I saw a bit of that latest Indiana Jones movie the other day with him in it. So bad.
It lost me at the Paramount sign turning into a gopher, CGI gopher popping up. I mean, talk about not being into a movie in the first 10 minutes. Like, that one is like, nope. That's like, big nope.
Yeah. So disappointing. So Shia LaBeouf is Hitler. Ansel Eygert as the nerd. I don't think I know who that is. Janelle Monáe as Rosa Parks. Hell yeah. Keegan-Michael Key is Gandhi. Yes. And Jordan Peele is Frederick Douglass. I like that, seeing Key and Peele. I'll do that all day long. I think I saw recently where Jordan Peele was doing a Candyman sequel now. A sequel to the original Candyman.
That movie scared me so bad when I was a kid.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, I think, the thing now that this new Halloween has kicked off is the sort of forget about the movies that followed and let's do a sequel to the original movie.
Yeah, kind of like they were trying to do with the stupid Universal monster movies.
Yes.
That the Mummy one just totally wrecked and then they abandoned that whole thing entirely.
Yeah, I can't wait for that new Halloween movie.
And who's directing that? It's Danny
David
McBride.
David Gordon Green, yeah. Danny McBride wrote it, I think.
Oh, okay.
With David Gordon Green.
Okay. Danny McBride is involved? I think he co-wrote
and like produced it, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think he's in it. Unless he shows up as Michael Myers. That'd be pretty funny.
That's right. He wrote it.
Yeah, I mean, he must be like an old school fan.
Yeah, that's
what
cool.
I imagine.
That's cool.
Mike Dickinson says, Dr. Bunsen Honeydew as the nerd. Ralph the dog as Rosa Parks. I see what's going on here. Dwayne the Rock Johnson as Gandhi. Kermit the Frog as Frederick Douglass. And Miss Piggy as Hitler. It's pretty funny. I like this stuff. All right, let's do two more. Kevin Herbon says, the nerd Emma Watson, Terry Crews as Frederick Douglass, and that's all he says. You forgot the rest, Kevin. Gabe Rivera says, the nerd Ezra Miller. Yeah, why not? The Flash. Gandhi, Jerry Bednob, don't know who that is. Rosa Parks, Whoopi Goldberg, Frederick Douglass, Donald Glover. And Hitler, Ed Norton. Not bad. And then finally, everyone, we're going to finish with one more. Our old friend Gemma Marie, who's quite active here, says, Donald Glover is the nerd and not Frederick Douglass. Uzo Aduba as Rosa Parks. Deb Patel as Gandhi. Lawrence Fishburne as Frederick Douglass. And another Ricky Gervais Hitler. I don't know why everyone's going down that road, but they are.
I don't know. He's got like a – I would like to see Ricky Gervais as Hitler but still keep his like Ricky Gervais persona and accent. And just sort of like – have you seen the Stalin movie, The Death of Stalin?
I still haven't seen that.
It's really great. And the whole thing that makes it great is that everything about it is historically accurate and like, you know, really to a T, except all the actors just kind of do their own voices and there's no one's trying to pretend to be Russian or be anything other than like Steve Buscemi plays Khrushchev like Steve Buscemi. So I would like to see Ricky Gervais play Hitler like Ricky Gervais.
Nice.
That'd be cool.
I love it. All right, we're going to finish up with Comment Cardinal. The questions from you to us. All right, this first one I'm going to take from Chris Moore. Hey, Chuck, you mentioned in this episode, it was a mini crush, that you've never broken a bone. If I'm remembering correctly, an episode of Stuff You Should Know, you mentioned a car accident where you broke a digit. I think you said it was a toe or a finger. Chris, yeah, I think I did. It was my finger, but looking back, I don't know if it was a break or a really bad sprain. I just knew it was splinted. So I don't know if I broke a bone or not, actually. But I've never been casted. I think that's what the point I was getting for. Never broken an arm, broken a leg. You ever had a cast?
I have never had a cast.
Yeah.
No.
Me neither. We should go break a bone together, sign each other's casts.
And then tase each other.
Yes, for sure. Let me see here. Jack Box says, which actress was your first movie crush? Which starlet first lit that fire for you? For me, it was Olivia Newton-John in Grease, he says. Jack, I remember, actually. I think I mentioned it on this show. Christy McNichol was my first TV or movie crush, which is kind of interesting because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Christy McNichol is gay. And so little young Baptist boy Chuck's first crush was on a gay woman. And for some reason, that just feels right. I don't know. Who was yours, Noel? Do you remember your first crush?
Yeah, it was Anna Chlumsky from My Girl.
Oh, sure.
And also
super cute.
Christina Ricci from The Addams Family.
Yeah. Movies.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
I like Christina Ricci. She's good. Don't see her enough these days. I think she's quite good. Let me see here. Karen Soubiet or Soubier, I don't know if you're French or not. My sister recently got married and it got me thinking about good wedding movies. What are your favorite wedding movies or best wedding scenes? She said, for me, Rachel Getting Married is an excellent film in many ways. So that's her pick. Karen, yeah. Rachel Getting Married was a great, great movie from the great Jonathan Demme.
Yep, that is a good one with a nice cameo of Robin Hitchcock as a strolling...
that's right.
We've talked about this, I think, as a strolling troubadour at the wedding.
I forgot
reception.
He was in that.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, that was a great wedding movie. Well, there's certainly been great wedding scenes. I love the funny, funny wedding scene from 16 Candles. That's one of my old faves. And the sister has taken pills and is all effed up at the wedding. That was funny. A little squishy lady from Poltergeist cleaning up afterward. That's a very, very good wedding scene. Yeah, I would say Rachel Getting Married might be my pick for a wedding movie, because a lot of times wedding movies are just super kind of corny and sappy. And Rachel Getting Married was kind of right on the money, right up my alley. Dark. Indie. Aaron Lee says, what was the first movie that made you cry? I watched Dead Poets Society and bawled my eyes out in front of my high school girlfriend, forever ruining my angsty street punk persona. Well, Aaron, I don't remember the first movie that made me cry. But as everyone knows, I'm a well-known crier. And I will cry at the drop of a hat in a movie. And I certainly cried in Dead Poets Society. But I don't think I was as big of a crier in my younger years. So it's come on with age. You cry more now. We've talked about this, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just get triggered emotionally because there's a lot more history, you know, in your mind and a lot more experiences to
That's
tap
what it
into,
is.
You know?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, especially if you have like a kid or something and you see something that reminds you of a moment in their, you know, childhood or, God forbid, it's like a ex relationship or a lost loved one. There's just a lot more. And that's also the reason that I don't like overly gory or mean-spirited movies anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I used to really like them when I was younger and more nihilistic, and now I have too much to lose. You know, I don't want to see that shit. Like, I don't like the Saw movies or any of the torture porny type stuff, because it's just like people being, you know, abused.
Mean to each other.
I don't like that. I just watch the fucking Great British Baking Show. That's all I do.
Yeah, no. You're doing it right, my friend. Do you remember the first movie that made you cry?
No.
I don't either. Jessica Michnick Rubenstein, great name. What is the usual timeline for how a movie gets made, starting with the script being written to when the movie is released in theaters, and who usually gets involved for the entire time? Boy, that's a whole episode right there, Jessica. That's a whole Stuff You Should Know episode. But generally, you know, you write the script, you pitch the script, the script will get optioned, which means a production company or studio will pay you a certain amount of money to have the right to make that movie for a certain amount of time. So like, I'll option your movie for 2 years. That means I've got a 2-year window to make this movie or not make this movie. The movie might get made. Chances are it might not. Many, 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 many scripts are optioned that never, ever, 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 ever get made. Can't stress that enough. Like, it's just because you get your script optioned, it really means nothing. I mean, it's great. Good accomplishment. But it really means nothing in the end as far as whether or not you will see that in the theater. You can make a movie and it may not get seen in the theater. So that's step one. If it actually moves beyond that, then you get a producer involved. You start the casting process. If that goes well and it keeps moving along, and you actually set a schedule, you get more and more crew starting to come up. You call it crewing up, get your crew in place, and then you go shoot the movie, and then you make it, and then it's released. And that is way oversimplified, but that's sort of how it goes. But yeah, much too big of a question to answer here, but hopefully that gives you the slightest idea. And then finally, Rigoberto R. Pires. Great name. Hi, guys. Hope this gets read. What is one movie that affected you in a great way? something that was even life-changing, perhaps. Noel, you got one?
Gosh. I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I would feel like I was giving other things short shrift. I'm gonna pass on that one for now.
Yeah, you know, mine that affect me, it's not so usually like it gives me a new perspective on life or anything. It's usually it affects me artistically. So it will have a big impact on and like inspire me to go create more than like it changed my life in a day-to-day way. Does that make sense?
It does.
So that's my answer. And I can't think of a specific movie. But great question. Great questions all. Thanks for sticking around. If you've noticed, we haven't been doing the homework section. We might add this in later, and you may not even hear this part. But we don't have our lineup of guests all set, so who knows what's coming down the pike. But maybe I'll post it on Facebook so you can watch the movie ahead of time. But until then, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week on The Mini Crush. Bye, Noel.
Goodbye, Chuck. Goodbye, everyone.